näher bringen in einem 40-minütigen Vortrag. Und danach haben wir noch Zeit für Q&A. Und falls ihr mitdiskutieren wollt oder Fragen stellen wollt, ist das im IRC möglich. Und nach dem Vortrag gibt es dann die Möglichkeit, Feedback zum Vortrag zu geben. Dann übergebe ich direkt weiter an den Martin. Bitte schön.
Danke für die Einleitung. Wenn es okay ist, werde ich den Vortrag jetzt in Englisch halten, damit es, also weil ich es gewohnt bin, dass wir in der Firma nur noch Englisch reden, da wir sehr, sehr viele Nationen bei uns da haben. So I will talk about home office, and before I start to do that, a few things about the agenda that will take place. So first I'll talk a little bit about who am I, then about your personal workspace, how it could look like, then something about online meetings, something that we have here now, right now. Some suggestions I have for your home network, a little bit about monitoring, as the moderator told you, I am a technician, so of course I'm monitoring something. Then some things about access to company network, what will be good ideas or bad ideas. And something you should not, you should also think about is social interaction. And then some conclusion, and then please questions. So who am I? My name is Martin Maurer. I work for Netconomy. That's a software or web developing company. I myself work with Linux since 1997, but I have also experience with working with Mac or Windows as it's needed for my work, my daily work. I work as a web operation engineer. That means I keep servers running and build infrastructure and something like that. If you want to reach me, besides the current talk, here you can reach me under my email address, or you can also reach me on Twitter, Querendos. So let's start into the setup. That's my personal workplace. So you can see how it looks like, and some of the bigger things I will mention after that. So first of all, desk. You need workspace, and if you have the possibility to work, or if you need to work from home, look that you have a desk where you can set up your system, where you can set up an extra monitor, where you, so that you are comfortable in working, that you sit, that you have enough space, something like that. It may sound a little bit self-understanding, but if you're working for more than one day in a week from home, it's very good to set it up like that. Use also a comfortable chair, something where you can sit comfortable for more than 1 hour. Of course, you can stand up and something like that, but you work for more than 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, then of course a good seat, a good seating possibility is always useful. And like in the office, use a keyboard, a mouse, something that you are comfortable with, where you can type without getting problems with your hands and arms and your muscles. Then network connection, there will come a little bit later to it, also with the home network, but make sure that you have a stable network connection. If it's not that stable, try to look it up, try to find a way to build a network, a stable network connection. Here is one suggestion: use something cable-based, not wireless-based. So, in my opinion, a 5G network connection is, or 4 or 5G network connection is nice to have it for a short period of time. But if you want to work for a larger time, then cable-based network connections, ideally like something like fiber. But DSL or cable is more often better than worse. Then camera. I use an extra web camera in front of me, so I am able to, when I have online meetings, I'm able to see my component better and not to look from the side or a stupid angle. So some laptops have it near the keyboard. And from this perspective, I don't like to be seen like that. And as you can see here, I use an extra microphone. That's because I'm used to have doing regularly web or online meetings. And there the understanding is a lot of easier when you have a dedicated microphone in front of you. And also you can filter the sound better so that not only your voice is transmitted and not the surrounding sounds like the coffee maker in the kitchen or your kids or something else that you don't want to have heard over the network in the online meeting. So jump into the next thing, online meetings. I prefer to use the camera in front of me so that I can look to the persons. I like to use an extra microphone. And as I'm here alone, I use my speakers from my laptop. If you have extra speakers, that's also okay. Make sure that they are in front of you so you hear it better. Or use headphones. That's also a good possibility to concentrate on what the others say. In smaller groups, I prefer that everyone turns on his or her camera so that you see the other people's. Because a lot of communication is not only voice, it's also mimic, gestic, and at least you see the face of the colleagues or the other participants, and you know when they are not that concentrated about what you say, if they want to say something, if there is a discussion, it's easier if you see something than if you only hear that. So that's something to consider it. Another point is when you're using a client like Zoom or Teams or whatever your company is using, I prefer to have the microphone on mute so that I can actively switch the button to unmute myself and the others are not disturbed when I join later or something like that. Also, I'd like to switch off my camera at the start. So to join with switched off camera, and when I'm comfortable that I show myself and my camera and my background or something like that, then I start with switching on my camera, and with that, I feel more comfortable and more safe. Also, I switch off my camera during online meetings when someone else is going to ask me something so that I give them their privacy. For online meetings, it's also nice if you can choose your background. Here I choose my real life setting as background. But in meetings, you can switch in or use a slide, a more professional slide as background so that you don't have to tidy up your room all the time. One thing for bigger webinars or something like that, there I like to turn off my camera and keep it turned off as long as I'm only listening to it, because that saves bandwidth and I can more relaxed watch and listen to that, what the speaker has to tell. Okay, so from the online meeting to the home network, I've here provided a sketch about a typical home network. You have something like a router that gives you probably Wi-Fi. Then you have desktop, laptops, game console, your smart TV, a printer, tablets, phones. For example, you have also a network attached storage or something like that in your home environment. And usually the easiest way, or you think that the easiest way to connect all these your devices is via Wi-Fi. I have made the experience that it's easier to connect, or it's better to connect all the devices that are possible to connect via LAN. So you have a cable to it, a cable to your router, that nothing else interferes. I live in Graz, I live inside the town, and in best days I have about 30 networks around me, and so there you can think of a lot of interferences about that. With that, so to get a stable connection, use a LAN cable if possible. And if you build your house, or you build your, or renovate your flat, make sure that you have dedicated cable management for that too. If it's possible, that helps you a lot for your home office work and other stuff. Next thing, I know a lot of colleagues like to have static IP addresses. I like them too, but for easier management, it would be nice, or I prefer now to use DHCP, that the router is my central hub, and all the devices that are connected to it get an IP address from the router. There I can also set fixed IP addresses. I have that for my Raspberry Pi, for example, so that I know that they get always the same IP address, but if I have to change the router, then I'm easy to do that and can use another IP range for that. Also, when you have a router, you have there are two main frequency areas there, 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz. Use both. 5 gigahertz is when you're near your router, it's a better decision. And more usually, there are not that many clients in this frequency band. So if you have problems connecting to your router via VLAN with the 2.4 gigahertz, try out to use 5 gigahertz. That helps a lot. And for security and privacy reasons, use a guest VLAN for all the colleagues that you get invited. I mean, during the pandemic, it's not that common, but think about general. When you have a guest VLAN, then you can easily switch that on and off, give them access. They have the accommodation of a stable internet from your home, but you don't provide all your infrastructure to them. And that will also help you to set up a little bit more security. Your guests' devices won't have that, so you don't control them, so you don't know if there are any spyware or something else is on it. Then if you have set up a home automation, think about using an own VLAN for that, So separate your network for all the stuff that you don't, that you use for home automation and something like that. Another point is smart TVs. They have the tendency that they are tracking a lot of things, and they, so if you don't need the smart TV capabilities of your television, think about them not connecting to the internet or blocking them or blocking some sites that they are send, they are requesting. And if you have the possibilities, you can even use an extra VLAN for your office network, for your home office network, so you that you can use a little bit network separation. And that can be easily done with another router where we have a double NAT, and you're behind the second router and have another firewall in front of the normal firewall that you're using. Good. So, and like I said, try to connect as much as possible over your over cable. That helps when you have a NAS and you have videos on something like that on it for streaming reasons, so for local streaming reasons, that's faster, backup and other things. So when you're using your NAS as a backup storage, then it will get also more, it will also get faster. And it's easier to check a cable if it's working as to have to check the interference of Wi-Fi. So my recommendation is to use as much cable as possible. Good. Monitoring and security. So that's the next point I want to talk about. One important thing is update your devices. That starts at the router, your central connection point to the internet, and make sure that your router is, for one thing, updated, use the latest firmware possible, and that you have set there a password and another user than admin. I help a lot of my friends with network connectivity and internet setup, and there I found that the router is usually using an IP address like 192.168.0.1 or 0.100 or 0.138, like the telecom stuff that's. And they all have admin and password as their default configurations. And if there is an if there is someone who wants to do something bad in your network or sets open some ports or something like that, he, when he has access to one of your devices and then gets easily to your router without proper passwords, there's nothing you can do about that. Managed switch, when you use dedicated VLANs or go in this direction, you can use managed switch. Make sure that they're also they use also the latest firmware. The same it goes on for access points and all the other devices that are lying around in your network. If you're lazy like me, I try to set it up to automatic updates, because usually updates help you. If not, I mean, I can always switch them and do a new setup or reset them and do that. Also, for of course, that is the same for smart home devices. So your controlling of the heating or something like that, check it monthly, quarterly. If there are updates, set yourself a date. That helps a lot to figure that out. The next thing, I use a Raspberry Pi with Pi-hole and Unbound for DNS. So I use an ad blocker to filter my network traffic a little bit. I will show then later on some pictures about that. And I use Unbound as a DNS server. More or less, if your internet service provider does some filtering, use a non-filtering DNS server that helps you to reach all everything without being censored or unwanted censored. I've here set the URL of the German GUI info. They are right now filtering. You can look into that if you are interested in more. And usually if Germany does that, it will be in Austria sometimes else. And I also use a monitoring service like CheckMK to monitor my home network. That's not to control my users. That's more or less to figure out if my internet connection is stable, if my Raspberry Pi is working correctly, and so on, and if I have access to all the web pages. I show you now some pictures about that. That's my Pi hole. It runs on the server PyCheck. So yeah, that you see here. And you, here you see all the queries that I made during this 24 hours. And there you see also where the requests come. So my internet service provider has gave me a Fritzbox to connect to it. There you see the local DNS names are filtered by, are provided by the Fritzbox. And you see also the local host on port 5335. That's the Unbound service that gives me the information for all the rest. And you see also how many things are blocked and how many requests came from my from the cache perspective. So my the p-hole also caches some requests from that. Then you see here my CheckMK server. Here you see I check a web page if it's available or not. That's not hosted in my home network. It's by a provider, hosted on a provider. And you can see here what's working and what's not. So also you see my host statistics. There are eight hosts that are up, and I check them regularly if they are, that's everything working. Here again, you see something about my connection. I blocked my WAN IP address. But for the rest, you see a little bit, a few things about the connection times. You see if there is the network is working and something like that. That helps me to find out if I have a connection problem to a server or to a service. If my my internet service provider is down at the moment. So I can check that, and then I can find out and figure out what else is not going to work. Here you see this nearly the same thing. Here is some connection of the WAN interface of the Fritzbox, so you can get this information, and you see how well it works and how much bandwidth I'm using or I have used there. Another thing is you can check your services, so servers, about the TCP connections. Here, for example, you see my CheckMK, so the Raspberry Pi, and I've checked, and you see the spike that's going up there at the TCP connection status. That is when I connected via browser to see, to take these pictures. Then you see, of course, there is a lot of more connection status going on to get all the information to my browser. Nearly the same you can see here with the CPU load. You see it's working sometimes more, sometimes less. It depends on how much I use it. But it's nice to see it. And then you can also see when your system is overloaded, when you need to think about upgrading it, or if you have not much or if it's idling around all the time. Okay, so that was it for the monitoring and the network part from the home network. Then if you're doing home office, of course, you have to interact with your company. And for that, I suggest that you use your, so that you organize your company network in a way that, if it's possible, use a lot of web services for the general things you are using. So for example, time bookings that are mandatory for in Austria, that you have something like that. And if the company provides something like that, you can do it with a web service. Of course, there has to be set the web access with authentication. If you're not want to use VPN, because that's usually a bottleneck in a network connection and you don't need it only for web pages, you can use something like Cloudflare or your own web authentication service. So where you allow only, where you allow the network access with accessing it with your LDAP credentials, so your company credentials. You can set up there a second factor authentication over a Google authenticator or something like that. Or you can also do something like you have Cloudflare gives the opportunity that you have when you have a paid service that you have then set up. It's like that your web services, your company web services are behind a web access security rules. You can use that with other authentication services too. So for example, time bookings, wiki pages where you describe something for your valid for all your employees. Ticket systems, Git server or something like that. So general stuff, you can put that behind a web access and with good valid authentication. Use two-factor authentication that helps to provide that if some data is linked, so some login credentials are linked, that someone else is not able to use that, only that he needs, that he or she needs also two-factor authentication, something independent from your knowledge to access it. Another important thing is use password managers. So for example, Bitwarden, KeePass. There are a lot of things out there, a few very good open source things. You can also use a paid service if you like that, or if your company wants to have insurance for that. Use that, use for every service that's possible a different password. That helps you a lot to keep your company safe and also to keep the company and the employees' data safe and secure. If you are working with files, you can use automatic syncing tools that helps your employees a lot to have their files available and also not think about where to save, where to store them. So they don't need to upload it, and the interaction between users gets a lot of easier. I've set up for a friend peer-to-peer network, and I use it also for myself. So I have set up my NAS is syncing automatically with BitTorrent to another NAS that is located at my parents' home. So I have a backup system that's not at my home. Something like that with peer-to-peer syncing helps you also to provide or to reduce the network load on your company network. Or you can use a centralized syncing thing like Nextcloud that is also working right quite good. So you have their easy access for that the work documents that you have saved are available for all the others. Of course, you should use, or you can use, collaboration tools if you're working online. That means something like Nextcloud is providing some a notice app where you can work together on the same web page so that you are able to collaborate with together. I think there is also a talk about Collabora, an open source collaboration tool. Chat tools work quite well. So MetaMost, Slack, Teams. There are a lot of tools outside. MetaMost is I think, open source. Also, when you get emails, be aware of phishing and scams. So one thing that helps to have clear and simple procedures to work with that, then also use have a blameless culture. So if you're having an error, that don't blame the person. So that, and if you have that kind of culture in your company, then your employees will ask you and will make sure that everything is okay. And they won't, will do some providing information of your internal services. And another thing is, in my company, we work a lot of with projects. And so we have limited the access to these projects LDAP-based. So that means only the people working for the projects have access to that. With that, you provide, you reduce the accessibility and the possibility to have your data leaked. And another thing would be to have separated VPNs for these projects. Good. The next thing about social interaction, we do social interaction with colleagues. Don't forget about that. So the coffee time is a nice thing to do. Think about doing some other stuff like not only sitting in front of your laptop, so sport and something like that. What also helps is to have a daily routine. So meet at 8, be available at 8 or 9. Then, for example, in my team, we have at 9 a coffee break. So everyone talks a little bit how it feels, how it's going on. And then we talk and can start in the day relaxed. And don't forget to take time for yourself sometimes. So off-screen time is also a very important time to have that doing. Good. Some parts for conclusion. Working from home is not impossible, but you have to be prepared for that. Be aware that you need social interaction. So to find ways to do that, it's to do it in a safe way, it's always good. One thing is home office has to be organized and has to be prepared. So for example, that your company uses web tools for the general stuff, so they don't have to upload a lot of files. And an important thing is home office is based on trust. If you don't trust your employees, you won't have a good experience with home office. It needs rules how to deal with it, so that, for example, every day at a certain time, everyone is online and we can talk about the day. But it also gives employees more responsibility and more flexibility to deal with the daily life. So in my opinion, home office is nice and a relaxing thing if you have also the possibility to have social interaction in and sometimes switch to the company. But it's worst that, of course, is now not possible, but yeah. Good. So that is the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, please start with them. And else, thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Martin. So currently I have no questions seen in the chat. So I will just quickly mention that you can now give feedback on the pre-talks website, which you can find on linuxtagab.at. And also there the slides will be available. Either Martin uploads it himself or we'll do it in the next few days. And then the next talks will be in session 2, TMUX Terminal Multiplexer by Sven Gukas, or Yocto Crash Course in session 3. And in session 1, we have got to collect them all metrics easily visualized. Let me check if there are any questions in the chat now. Seems not. Then I will thank you, Martin, for your talk. It was quite interesting.
Thank you.
Then I wish you a nice day.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and have a nice day and a lot of interesting talks.
You're welcome.